Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey, What's News listeners? It's Sunday, April 21st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli.
And I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. And this is What's News Sunday, the show where we tackle the big questions about the biggest stories in the news by reaching out to our colleagues across the newsroom to help explain what's happening in our world.
This week, we're talking about electric vehicles, some of the big auto companies behind them, like Tesla, and the future of the market. The electric vehicle revolution began with high hopes and great promise. Auto executives foresaw a potential societal shift amid government regulations and climate goals and rising competition from China. But the picture has changed recently. Consumers aren't buying in the way automakers had hoped. Many have now scaled back their plans, and even the world's most valuable automaker, Tesla, is seeing signs of trouble. The company announced it would lay off 10% of its global workforce. Tesla also lost two long-standing executives, including Drew Baglino, who was in charge of energy engineering and oversaw initiatives including the EV maker's efforts to manufacture its own battery cells. Meanwhile, Tesla's stock has fallen around 40% this year, as the company is suffering from lower demand for its fleet of cars. So, what's going on in the EV market? And what could its future look like? Now we're going to get into some questions from you, our listeners, with Heard on the Street editor and columnist Stephen Wilmot and automotive industry reporter Mike Colias. All right, we're going to get into Tesla because that's the major EV news for both buyers and investors. But first, let's expand out to the current EV market and consumers. Here's a question from Mark Holliday from Boulder, Colorado.
What is driving the slump in EV demand among customers that I keep hearing about? And I want to know when that slump will kind of dissolve and sales will start to pick up again.
Mike, what did happen here? Why aren't consumers as interested as automakers had hoped in EVs?
Yeah, I think if you look back several years, you know, 2019, 2020, there was a ton of enthusiasm around EVs. Tesla had finally kind of broken through and was making the Model 3 in big volumes. They're starting to get on the road. And a lot of the competitors, the traditional automakers, were also starting to introduce new models. You had waiting lists, like people really wanted these new EVs. But if you'll remember, that was post-pandemic period where there were supply chain problems. There was a shortage of cars in general. And so pretty much all cars were hard to get and people were paying top dollar. And so I think that might have sent some false demand signals to the industry. And so they thought that the pool of buyers for these EVs was maybe a little deeper. And so now companies are finding a more discerning buyer that's, you know, kind of hesitant around some of the lifestyle changes that you need to make to put up with some of the hassles of electric vehicles. It's an adoption that a lot of people are a little reluctant to make. The two biggest reasons being charging hassles, right? It's going to take too long to charge. I don't know where to charge. And then price. They're a little pricier than a comparable gas-powered car. And those are the two big hangups that we see.
And what's going on at Tesla, I think, provides a good example here because the company had seen sales falling and cut some prices as a result. There are also some delivery delays, and only a few days ago, Tesla recalled more than 3,800 Cybertrucks to repair or replace faulty accelerator pedals. That was just months after it hit the market in late November. Stephen, how was all of this playing out at Tesla before the news last week?
Well, as Mike was just saying, price has been one of the key things holding consumers back from buying EVs. And so there was a lot of emphasis on a project at Tesla to come up with a more affordable vehicle. The Wall Street Journal has reported that certainly the project has been deprioritized relative to the robotaxi project, which was previously seen as a bit of a second growth leg or something which was a bit further out. So basically, investors were very optimistic about this next generation vehicle. And now it's been, for the reasons that Mike said, that whole strategy is a bit up in the air. And we're all waiting for Tesla's results this coming week to clarify exactly what the company's intentions are with the next generation vehicle.
What are other car makers doing about this?
what you're seeing right now is the car makers are trying to sort of calibrate the pace at which consumers are going to adopt electric cars. For example, Ford has said, well, we're going to do this battery plant that we had planned in Michigan, but it's just going to be smaller, or they've pushed out a few models. Instead of launching in 2025, it might be a year or two later than that. GM's done some of the same things. An EV truck plant in Michigan, we're gonna push that out a year and conserve some cash and wait for the market to sort of catch up to where we thought we would be.
And the Tesla job cuts are, I would say, part of the same trend. We don't yet have the details of exactly where the job cuts have fallen, but the last time they announced big job cuts 2 years ago, it only affected salaried employees. So it's clearly a kind of like cutting fat exercise. This one affects all employees, including factory employees. So it seems very much a kind of recalibration of their growth strategy.
Okay. How else are car makers changing strategy?
Hybrids have emerged as an important sort of bridge technology that some companies didn't think they needed to take that step. You know, I remember GM saying, well, you know, we're just going to go straight to EVs because that's, in some ways, it's a simpler execution in terms of engineering. But the consumer has shown that, you know, hybrid sales are really taking off. And I think that's because there's been this focus on EVs and a lot of people go into a showroom and feel like, okay, I don't want to quite, you know, step off the cliff yet. You know, I want better fuel economy. So I think a lot of consumers are warming to this. And a lot of the companies that have the hybrid technology are really leaning in. Toyota is probably the best example. They never really departed from their hybrid strategy. They've always been the leader, and they've taken a lot of flack in the last few years for not really fully embracing the EV transition. But now they look like the smartest automaker in the room right now, because they've got this hybrid portfolio, and it sure seems like the hybrid story has legs.
Yeah, it seems like it's turning into a middle ground for folks who don't necessarily feel ready for the full transition to EVs. We've talked a lot about where the market stands now and how automakers are pivoting. Coming up, we'll talk about the future of EVs and sustainability. More after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
All right, so we've talked a bit about the current EV market and how automakers are adjusting their plans now. Let's get into some more questions from our listeners about those sustainability and climate goals. Last month, the Biden administration enacted the strictest rules ever for tailpipe emissions, but also scaled back a bit by giving automakers more time to comply with them. Pam Bellish from Pickerington, Ohio, has this question.
How does the overall emissions math work out when you compare everything that goes into manufacturing and powering an EV versus a gasoline-powered vehicle? I think we would need to consider emissions from the power plants, the refineries, the manufacturers, etc.
Mike, what do you think, and how do the latest emissions rules factor in here?
Yeah, it's a really good question and a good point. You know, a lot of times EVs are considered zero emissions, but they're far from that. There's electricity that is required to run the battery plants. Tons of energy goes into just the battery production alone. Then when you're charging the cars, right, there's, depending on where your electricity comes from and how that's powered, it could be a coal plant or natural gas. And so there's emissions related to that as well. But in general, the rule of thumb is EVs emit roughly a third of the carbon as a gas-powered car over the course of its lifetime. The EPA regs, I mean, they are super stringent. It doesn't say company X, you have to make a certain number of EVs by a given year, but effectively it does that, because to hit these targets, roughly half of the new car sales in the country are going to need to be electric by 2030. No auto executive I've talked to thinks that that's going to be easy to do. But the one interesting thing I think we saw from the regulations relative to the last time they floated this about a year ago was that they are giving credit for hybrids, and the government's acknowledging that hybrids are going to be a bigger part of the solution here than we might have thought even just a year ago.
All right, and that sounds like a good incentive. We have another sustainability question from Will Calderon of Omaha, Nebraska.
I'm wondering if car makers are addressing whether or not the extensive mining required for all of the minerals is a sustainable option to create such a large electric vehicle fleet.
I mean, the industry is looking for more sustainable ways to get at these minerals. One example, lithium is sort of the workhorse material in a battery. And, you know, I've seen in California where they're testing, because a lot of the lithium comes in like brine from underneath, you know, in sort of liquid form. And so they'll suck that out of the ground, extract the lithium, and then inject it back into the ground, a lower impact way of doing things. There's all kinds of those sort of approaches that the industry is taking right now to sort of lessen the impact. What the industry would say is recycling in the long run is going to be a big way to solve this. The problem is that life cycle is going to take a really long time to get up and running.
Our listeners asked about the infrastructure around electric vehicles, and we've done a bunch of reporting on it as well. Stephen, where does building up the infrastructure around EVs stand, and is it getting better?
Well, there's no doubt that it is getting better. There are more chargers every year, but there are also more EVs every year. So as Mike said earlier, it's definitely one of the two key things that people worry about. The adoption of the technology has been driven by people who charge at home and who have garages. It's a perfect solution for them. Californian housing stocks are a good fit for that model. One of the problems with EV adoption is like getting beyond those people to people who don't necessarily have that space. One answer obviously has been to share infrastructure. So Tesla has opened its network to others. That will help sell other brands. But there's no real solution apart from just, you know, densifying the network, which the Biden administration has obviously undertaken to do with its infrastructure bill.
So it sounds like a lot of the future of EVs depends a lot on the infrastructure we're building up around it.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the frustrations of the industry, certainly Mike will hear this as much as I do, is that there's a chicken egg situation, and public investment is really important, and governments set these targets and they don't necessarily back them up with the infrastructure, apart from China.
The US is way behind. China, 20 years ago, decided that they weren't going to compete on internal combustion technology. They just wanted to leap ahead to electric vehicles. And they've done that in a big way through huge investment in charging infrastructure. I mean, last time I checked, they have like 25 times the amount of charging infrastructure that the US does. They've really built the system around it. The problem for a GM or a Ford, you can pull back on it and you can try to slow walk some of these investments you plan to make. But the risk is that you continue selling big pickup trucks and SUVs to American consumers, and then the rest of the world kind of passes you by with the technology of the future. And so I think that's kind of the existential risk that the car companies in the US in general face if we are going to be the laggards on this technology, which right now we are.
I've been speaking with our reporters, Stephen Wilmot and Mike Colias. Thank you so much to you both.
Thank you.
You bet.
And that's it for What's News Sunday for April 21st. Today's show was produced by Charlotte Gartenberg with supervising producer Michael Kosmides. We got help from Pierre Bien-Aimé and deputy editors Scott Salloway and Chris Sinsley. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli. We'll be back on Monday morning with a new show. Thanks for listening.